mitzvahs. We have a Yirtz Hashem coming upon us. A 3-day Yom Tov. Make sure you don't eat too much. Don't eat too much. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Okay, let's get. We have a 3-day Yom Tov, and we start with Parshas Bamidbar. Bamidbar, and then the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Tonight is the last night of Sefirah. It's if you made it to the end, congratulations. Tonight's the last night. 49 days, 7 weeks. Tonight. But before we begin with Bamidbar, now it's important to note that we are on schedule. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, everyone is always asking this question 100 times. Why have we not taken advantage of catching up to Eretz Yisrael? It's not correct. We are on the right schedule. It's Eretz Yisrael. The question should be, why doesn't Eretz Yisrael slow down? Eretz Yisrael should take a parasha and only learn half the parasha in order to slow down and match up with us. Rabbi Yevsky, have a wonderful Yom Tov. Why doesn't Eretz Yisrael slow down and catch and catch up to us? Meaning, because the truth is, Parshas Bamidbar is the appropriate parsha to learn before Matan Torah for many reasons. Now, it's not always a guarantee, because there are times, it's rare, but it does happen every so often that we end up learning Parshas Nosoi before Shavuos. But most of the time, the vast majority, and the ideal thing is certainly to learn Parshas Bamidbar before the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And this year, not only do we learn it before Shavuos, we learn it Mamish Erev Shavuos. So a lot of the lessons and the Musa in the Parsha is very appropriate for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And one of the first things that really brings out this idea of, you know, Hafeich Ba the Kulaba, is the opening Rashi on Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar begins with the question, why that we find Hashem counting the Jewish people so many times? We have here three times. There are three count. The Klai Yisrael was counted three times. They were counted when they left Mitzrayim. They were counted after the Egel. And now in this week's parasha, they've been counted again with the Binyan of the Mishkan. This parasha is the second year. Parashas Bamidbar picks up in the second year on the second month. Chodesh Iyar. A year after Yitzias Mitzrayim is when Klal Yisrael erected the Mishkan. Yitzias Mitzrayim took place on the 15th day of Nisan, and then shortly thereafter there was Matan Torah, and after Matan Torah there was the Chet HaEgel, and Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael and gave them a Sluchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur. Then a few days later, they began to build the Mishkan. Okay, they began to build the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was complete Chanukah time. And they erected, they assembled the Mishkan. And actually, the Chanukah San Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's basically a year later. A year after Yitzias Mitzrayim is when the Mishkan the Mishkan was operational a year later. And then a month after it was in operation, this parsha begins on Chodesh Iyar in the second year, and Hashem says, I want to take account. And Rashi is to question, my high, why do you want to take account now? What, why now? So Rashi tells you very beautiful words, mitoich chibason lifonav moine oisam kol sha'a. Right. What's that noise? I keep hearing that noise.
Mitoich
chibason. If everyone could please turn off, you know, all the sounds. Mitoich chibason lifonav moine oisam kol sha'a. Why did Hashem count them again? So Rashi says a very beautiful yisoid. It's because of Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously counts Klal Yisrael. This is the third time Hashem counted Klal Yisrael since the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, immediately after Rashi says, Kishiyatsu Mitzrayim, Minaom, That was when they left Mitzrayim. The second time Hashem counted Yisrael was Uchshenaflu ba'egel, the Cheto Egel, after the Egel. So there was the Magefa, and Moshe killed many people, all the people who participated in the Egel. Damage report, mina Uchshenaflu ba'egel, Rashi says, mina on leida minyan hanoisarim, Uchshebo l'hashrois shechinosai aleihem, mina on. And now the third time, when Hashem is coming to rest His divine presence, Hashem is coming to count them again. And the question, there's a lot of discussion here in the Tzrash, and this is a common, and that is, if Hashem, when did Hashem come to rest His divine presence upon them? Aleph Nisan. So why did Hashem wait an entire month, until the beginning of Chodesh Iyar? The pasuk begins, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'Oel Moed, B'Echad L'Chodesh Hasheni, B'Ashana Hashenis, let's say Sami Eretz Mitzrayim Leimar. And Rashi is telling us, and then the pasuk goes on to say, count, count them. If Hashem is coming to count the Jewish people when He's coming to the rest His divine presence upon them, that should have taken place 1 month ago in Chodesh Nisan when they built the Mishkan. Why wait a month? So the Sifsei Chachamim explains, as others do, is until a month passes, it wasn't permanent. You need Mashiach Hazman Lo Yaseh HaSeichel. When Hashem came to rest His divine presence in Chodesh Nisan with the building of the Mishkan, that's not called the Shechina is resting. A very powerful Musar in this. That's not called the Shechina is resting. You have to prove yourself. It has to, the Shechina has to settle. The Jews have to acclimate, they have to accept it. You know, there's a test, there's a shidduch, it's a test. Person doesn't know, you're in a relationship, the test of the relationship is when time passes. Then you really get a feeling of is this going somewhere? Is this permanent? So when the Shechina came down to rest in Chodesh Nisan, when they built the Mishkan, that was not sufficient. Hashem wanted to basically test the waters to see if Klal Yisrael will be able to endure, to maintain His presence, if Hashem will tolerate us. And after 1 month has passed, 30 days have passed, Hashem was satisfied. And Hashem now acknowledged the Shechina is here to rest for good. And now, out of my love, the Chiba to Klal Yisrael, I want to count you. I want to know what the number is.
Yeah, in many areas of Halakha, you see that 30 days marks the difference between short-term and long-term.
Alone.
It's that whether something will survive, if something has permanence, 30 days is often...
The test of time. The test of time is 30 days.
You
for example,
many such examples.
Alone. If a person borrows money, when is the due date? If you don't specify... Sorry?
A bar kayoma.
Bar kayoma, a nafel, a child, is not considered to be a bar kayoma for 30 days. You borrow money, when is the due date? If you don't specify, 30 days.
A temporary residence, a mezuzah, for example.
You have to make a bracha when you're there for 30 days. Excellent. A nazir. I want to already nazir. How long is the term of nazir? Stam 30 days. 30 days represents the test of time, exactly. And that's incredible that the chiba. So what is the yisait? I'm not trying to say anything very profound. I just want to basically go to the Rashi, this principle of Rashi to bring out as it relates to Shavuos. This is the Hakdam to Shavuos, Parashas Bamidbar. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted Klal Yisrael three times. He counted us and we left Mitzrayim. He counted that's, he wants to know who we're dealing with. Okay. Obviously taking out this nation. The second time was a damage report. The Mechol said a damage report after the Cheto Egel. Okay, we want to count Klal Yisrael after the Cheto Egel. And the third counting took place when he wanted to permanently rest his divine presence upon Klal Yisrael. And that took place 30 days after the Mishkan was built and the Mishkan was established, and Hashem's divine presence came down on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and now 30 days have passed, and now we're transitioning from, as Rav Chaim said, from Derech Arai to a permanent settlement of Hashem's presence on this world. When that occurred, it was a moment of chiba, of love, when it became permanent. And that's the moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as an expression of his chiba, he counted Klal Yisrael. This opening Rashi is really the Hakdama to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Because what is Shavuos all about? Is it represents the permanent resting place of Hashem, the chiba of Hashem's permanent resting place in this world. Until the Zman of Matan Torah, until Matan Torah, Hashem, he came to visit the world, you know, here and there. Hashem appears to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the others were behind the Torah, but before it was given. But at the moment of Matan Torah, the world changed from a Mokoyim where Hashem occasionally appears to a world where Hashem has a permanent presence in this world. The giving of the Torah to Klal Yisrael is a parallel to not just the building of the Mishkan, but 30 days after the Mishkan was established. The Mishkan was established, very nice. Okay, very nice, so what? Hashem did not show his chiba for Klal Yisrael when the Mishkan was established. Because who says the Mishkan is going to last more than a couple of days? Maybe Klal Yisrael will do something outrageous and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, the Divine Presence will leave. It was only after the Mishkan was established, was there for 30 days, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay. As Rav Chaim said, we're now transitioning from Arai to Keva, and now I want to show you my chiba. And the way I show you the chiba is I count you. Every single person makes a difference. When you make a count, that is an expression of every person is everyone, every detail has significance and has importance. This is what the Yom Tov of Shavuos is. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is, the world is one big Mishkan. Hashem created the world, Ma'aseh Bereishis. Hashem, the blueprint of the world is the Torah, Yisrael, V'Yaraisa, V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Chadnu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hashem appeared to Noah. There were the whole Chumash Bereishis, the whole half of Chumash Shemos, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, which is the place of Hashem's divine presence, and Hashem appears. The Shekhinah is resting. What changed with Matan Torah? That Hashem now is speaking to the Jewish people? Hashem spoke to us before. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Moshe gave over all the messages, all the time, the whole time of the Shiva, Pokoi Pokati. Hashem spoke to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem is all over the place. The difference between the world before Matan Torah and the world after Matan Torah is permanence. Now all the dust has settled. Hashem has a permanent address in this world. The Torah has come down to this world in many different ways. Torah la vashamayimi, the one that makes the decisions on the halacha, it's not in Shemayim, it's now here for people here down in this world. When you transition from a state of Arai to a state of Keva, this is a moment of chiba, a moment of love. And that's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is mitoy chibason lifanav moine oisam kol shah. It is the moment of chiba. Uchashabah, now which moment of chiba? There are many moments of chiba. Hashem counted when we left Egypt. Hashem counted us when it was after the damage. And then the most significant is Uchis Shebala Hashrois Shechinosoi Aleihem Minam. That is the Shpitz. These opening words of Rashi and Parshas Bamidbar is really the Hakdama to Matan Torah. It is the pinnacle of Chiba in this world, where Hashem is now not just the Mashre the Shechina upon this world, but is the Mashre the Shechina with a Kvi'us. Okay, so let me repeat myself one more time to tell you the steps that we're trying to bring out. Rashi tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at times in this world, he shows the world love. There's a moment of Chiba of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings salvation. There's Chiba. Rachmana Litzlan, in the time of Tzara, there's Chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished us. It was into Chiba. And that's why after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem showed Chiba. But the highest level of Chiba is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to establish a relationship with us. L'hashrois Shechinasa. Hashem counts us. And then we have the obvious question. Well, excuse me, when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to establish, to arrest the Shechina upon us? It was Aleph Nisan, not Aleph Iyar. So this pasuk doesn't make one bit of sense. This pasuk, Rashi, B'tuch Chibosan, V'yidaber Hashem, El Omoisha, B'midbar Sinai, B'elmoy, B'echa L'chodesh Hasheni, B'ashona Hashenis? What is going on over here? So this is very long Sifsei Chacham. It's not even, you have to go look at this, the Ika Sifsei, you have to go look at, what? You're a month late. And the Sifsei Chacham elaborates and explains, as others, is that no. Just because Hashem was Masha Shekhinasa in Aleph Nisan, it's too early. There's no kivios, it's only arai. It's specifically when it comes to the moment of Be'echod Lachodesh Hasheni. This is a dugma to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos is Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. It's the highest level of Chiba, Shebola Hashrais Shechinosoi Al Yisrael. And what is special about Matan Torah? Hashem appeared and spoke to Klal Yisrael multiple times, all over Jewish history from the time of creation. The difference is, all of those times that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael through different agents, through directly, not directly, it was like Aleph Nisan. It was just a warm-up. It was just preparation. Matan Torah Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai to give the Aseres HaDibrois. This is a Hashrois HaShechina where it became Kavua, permanent. And when it's permanent, and it's La Hashrois Shechina, this is the peak, the Shpitz of Chiba, of love. And that is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Rashi over here, we have all these, the counting of all the different people. And Rashi, we learn later in the parasha about the mitzvah of Bechor. We learn about a very, very tragedy in Klal Yisrael. Tragedy is, the whole parasha is all about this. Really, it touches upon this in many, many, many different dimensions. And that's not really what I want to talk about, but just to bring out one point is that it was originally meant to be that every firstborn would be the Kohen. Every firstborn was going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash in the same capacity that the Kohanim served in the Beis HaMikdash. What happened is that Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel. All of the firstborns in the Jewish people were participants in the worshipping of the Egel. Didn't necessarily worship the eagle, but they were tolerant of the eagle. So all of the firstborns of the Jewish people, they did themselves great harm.
Including Levium?
No, not with the exception of the Levium. With the exception. The Levium did not. They were the only ones that did not participate in the eagle. They did not participate. And therefore, that's exactly what happened. All of the firstborns who were originally meant to be the Kohanim, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, they were dismissed. from their service, because if you worship the Egel, you're a participant, you don't deserve to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they were exchanged for Shevet Levi. Every single member of Shevet Levi, even the non-firstborns, they took the place of the Levim. It was an exchange. How many Levim were there? There were 22,000 Levim. How many firstborns were there? There were 22,273. So there were 273 extra firstborns that needed to be redeemed. But basically, Shevet Levi took over. That is the simple understanding of the mission. The reason why Shevet Levi, which includes the Kohanim and the Levim, became the servants of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, was because they did not participate in the Chet HaEgel, and they became this is their new role. Now that's not entirely true. That's what it says, but there's something very interesting in the parasha. The parasha is a very interesting Rashi, which really serves as a lot of musar to the Levim. Let me read the pasuk to make sure I'm reading the right pasuk over here. Pasuk Mem. Okay. Parash of the Levim. Can find it in 1 second. We want to ask the Levim. Talk about Yocheved. She was born between the walls. Make the calculation. Rashi says, make the calculation when she was born. Al Pi Hashem. Okay, here it is. I got it. Okay, so let me read the pasuk. The pasuk says, Pekoid, I want you to count as Bnei Levi. Levei Savoisam Lemishbachoisam called Zacham Ben Chodesh Shemola Tiftidei. Vayivkoid, I want you to count Levi. Now Levi, after him, Levi was not counted as part of Klal Yisrael. Okay, they were not part of the regular count. When Moshe, when we have the grand number 603,550. 603,550, that does not include Shevet Levi. And they were not Vaidav Hashem Moshe Ba'amazim, the Koid is Bnei Levi, Levei Savoisam, Lemish Bechoisam. I want you to count them, a separate counting. Kol Zohar, every male, mi ben Chodesh V'mal, every male from 1 day or from 1 month, Tifkadeh. Vayiv Koid Hashem Moshe Al Pi Hashem, Kasha Tziv Hashem, as he was commanded. Okay, so Rashi says here, "Miben Chodesh v'mala, Mishiyotza Michlal Nefalim, who nimne likoreish Shomer Mishmeres Hakodesh." Period. Omar Rebbe Yehuda b'Rebbe Shalom, Lomud hu oisoy hashevet lihiyois nimne min habeten. Shenemar, Asher yoldo oisom lelevi b'Mitzrayim. In Kinisosa bePesach Mitzrayim Yolda, referring over here to Levi, to Yocheved. In Kinisosa, when she entered the Pesach Mitzrayim Yolda Oisa, she was born. The Nimnis, she was counted b'Shivim Nefesh. Kishatam Moine, when you make the calculation, Moine Cheshvoinam Loi Timtzeim Ela Shim Chosrachas, V'hi HaHishlima Es Hamid. Rashi here is doing something over here that seems to be a little bit bizarre. He's taking a pasuk here, and he's making mention that of a counting of the Levim today, right now, and he's taking note of the unusual detail of from the moment they're in the mother's womb. Pekod, I want you to count as Bnei Levi, the children of Levi, Levei Savoisam, Lemish Bechoisam, Kol Zohar, every male, Miben Chodesh V'mala Tifkidei. From the time they're 1 month old. Okay, so again, one more time with the Rashi. Amar Yehuda ben Yerushalayim. The fact that it counts them from Mishiyotza Michlal Nefalim, from the earliest moment possible, Miben Chodesh Vamala. Why? Why over here are we counting the Bnei Levi from the moment they're 30 days old? From the very, very first moment. When we counted everyone else in Klal Yisrael, we only count them from the age when they're 20 years and over. The whole Klal Yisrael, the beginning of the parasha, we counted, there's a very detailed enumeration of all of the members of Klal Yisrael, and the numbers are all listed based upon the age of 20 years and up. When it comes to Levi, it's not enough that we're not going to go from 20. We have to go down from the moment, the earliest possible moment you can possibly count them, which is 30 days old. After 30 days, they're already permanent in this world. So he says, you know why? We want to remember Yocheved. We want to remember her. Gam Yocheved Zohar Latov. What does Yocheved have anything to do with anything over here? What is Yocheved? Over here, we're in the desert. There are 603,550 males over the age of 20. And now we want to go count Shevet Levi, because Shevet Levi is going to take over the firstborns and become the servants of the Beis HaMikdash. We want to count them. All of a sudden now, we want to have a Zecher for Yocheved. What? What is Yocheved being born? And when was Yocheved born? She was born as the Jewish people entered into Egypt. There was a famine. They had nothing what to eat. Yosef saved them. He told them, come down, I'll feed you. They come down. There were 69 people who walked into Egypt as they had that 69 passports. 69 visas were issued.
Yosef and his two sons.
What?
66, Yosef.
So you're right, 66, because Yosef and his two sons. So there were 66 visas issued. It's all was 66. They stamped it. And now, guess what? Number 67 shows up. As they walk through the walls, all of a sudden, Yocheved is born. And how do we have to know? And all of that is alluded to, where? In this pasuk of Miben Chodesh, we want to go back Levi. Because who is the father of Yocheved? Who is?
Part of Levi.
It's Levi's wife, right? Levi was married. No. It's Levi's daughter. Levi's daughter married to Amram. It was Levi's daughter. We want
Kahos Amram.
Levi Kahos Amram. So we want to go mention. We want to mention it's Levi's daughter. Vani hine l'kachdis alim zochnei shol tachas l'bchar. I said the part. Vayidat Hashem Moshe b'Har is b'koy count as bnei Levi, the children of Levi. Who is Levi's child, even though she's a female? It's going to include Yocheved, Levi Savoysam, Lemishmachoysam, and call Zohar. Okay, she's a female, but now, Miben Chodesh Vamala? Oh, the reason why we're referring to the counting at the earliest moment, we want to remember there was a child that was born to Levi by the name of Yocheved, who was born in between the walls. Last time I'm going to read the words. Amar Yehuda ber Bisham. You know why it says in Ibn Chodesh? Lamur hu oisa hashevet. And he says something a little bit more. The entire shevet was destined. Li yois nimne min habeten shenemar. The whole shevet is really counted from the mom. It's not just all of the people now. All of the people now that have been counted from their 30 days old. Because it goes back to their yichus. It goes back to the yichus of their shevet, to Yocheved. She also was counted from the moment that she was born. Shenem Asher Yolda Oisal Lelevi B'Mitzrayim Im Kinisas of the Pesach Mitzrayim Yolda on the border when they entered into Eretz Yisrael Yolda Oisal V'Nimnis B'Shriv Nefesh Kishat Nim. When you make the calculation, so just like Levi had a daughter who was born as she came, as they entered into the walls, and the Torah calculates her birth as one of the 70, even though she was an infant. She wasn't even 30 days old in that case, but she was an infant, and then she went into the calculation. That's an example. Likewise, all of Shevet Levi, all of the descendants of Levi are also going to be calculated from the earliest moment possible that they came into existence, they're also going to be calculated. Everyone else in Klal Yisrael, their calculation first begins when they're 20 years old. But the Levim are calculating from the earliest moment of their existence. And we have a precedent for this, because one of the first members of Sheva Levi was Yochanan, and she was calculated as number 70 from the moment that she was born. We didn't wait for her to be calculated until she was 20 years old. Everyone that came into Mitzrayim was an adult.
Wait, let's take it one little step further.
Yeah.
Yochanan completes the count. She is number 70.
But okay. It's more than she completes the count.
Wait. Yeah. That's the discussion over there. Who makes it 70? So, and the separate count of Levian completes the counting of Bnei Yisrael. That's what I'm trying to say.
The counting of Levian completes...
Okay,
I heard you saying. You're saying a different idea. You're saying that just like Yochanan completed the count, so too the whole Shevet Levi completes the count of Klal Yisrael. Excellent. I want to put another idea, a different element, and that is that just like Yocheved was counted from the moment that she existed, from the very, very first moment, likewise Shevet Levi, their count is from the moment they first come into this world. Unlike the rest of Klal Yisrael, when they are counted, they don't begin to be counted until they're an adult, until they're 20 years old. When they came into Egypt, there were 69 people that were counted. They were all adults. We don't care. We don't take into the calculation their existence before this moment of time. They live their lives until this moment of time, and starting from this moment going forward is when they need to be calculated. Yocheved, from the very moment she was existed, the first moment she appeared in this world, she's right away calculated. Sheva Levi, that's a precedent for Sheva Levi. Sheva Levi, when we're going to count the people of Sheva Levi, we're counting them from the very first moment they're called viable. The very first moment when they're 30 days old. Unlike everyone else in Klal Yisrael, they don't begin to be calculated until they're 20 years old. Just like when they came into Egypt, there were 69 people, they were first counted as a number when they were adults, not when they were an infant. That's what Rashi is coming to tell us. What? What is Rashi coming to bring out this very nice drush? Very nice drush. We have Klal Yisrael 20 years and above. What happened before that, we couldn't care less. And then we have Sheva Levi. We have the very beginning of Sheva Levi, when the Jewish people was only number 70. Myself, a similar bottom, now we're dealing with Klal Yisrael, there's 603,550, and now we have to add to the calculation, a Shevet Levi, and we're going to add to the calculation Shevet Levi from the moment they're born, just like Yocheved, she was the member of Shevet Levi, she was counted from the moment that she was born. Very nice. My Inyan Shnita, Eitzel Har Sinai, what does this have to do with the Parsha? What's the message over here? Who cares? What's so relevant over here? The answer is, we said before, why was Sheva Levi selected to become the servants of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash? Because there was no one else, right? There was no one else. All of the firstborns blew it. The firstborns, they were meant to be the servants. They messed up, you're out. Okay, put an ad in the newspaper, we're hiring.
Levi started already earlier.
When he started earlier.
Moshe, no, you got to figure it as his tribe also.
Okay, but right now, when we're coming to build a base, the base Hamikdash, it's for the whole Klal Yisrael. The original goal was, the original plan was, every single family has a firstborn son, he serves in the
Kol.
At the Egel, at the Cheru Egel. And what happened? It was exchanged. And what happened?
Who?
It was the Levim. So it's plan B. That's the push-up shot. Rashi here is coming to tell you that's not entirely correct. Levi was destined for this mission. Now you have to reconcile the contradictions. There are multiple elements. But Rashi over here is telling you, you know why Levi was selected for this mission? It's not only because they're plan B. This is their destiny. This is what they were born for. When Yocheved was born, when she came, when Yocheved came into, when was Yocheved born? She was only born to serve in helping the Jewish people survive Mitzrayim. How do you know? Because she was born as they entered the walls. Everyone else, that was not their plan to exist. They came into this world. They were in Eretz Canaan. They had a very nice life. They had prestige. They had food. They had a life in Eretz Canaan. And then guess what happened? There was a famine. There was a famine. So we got a problem. When there's a famine, what are we going to do? We have no choice. We have to go down to Egypt. We don't belong here. This is not our purpose. We have to readjust. We have to retool ourselves, retrain, retool. We have to go find it. We have to figure out a way to survive in a place that we really do not belong. What about Yocheved? Yocheved was born to serve in Egypt. Yocheved, she was Shifra Upua. She was the team. She was the one that was responsible for the Paru Bnei Yisrael, Paru Vayishritzu Vayiru Vayatzmu B'moid Me'oid. 600,000 people, they developed even more. They were more because only Chamushim only Bnei Yisrael Yeretz Mitzrayim. Yocheved was in charge. She was, I don't know what you want to call it, the Surgeon General? The Surgeon General OBGYN? I don't know what kind of name you want to make up for her, but she was the person, Chazal say, Bayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lameyaldois Ho'ivyois, Asher Shem O'achas Shifer V'Shem Hashem Ispua. Who is this? Mother and daughter. Who's the mother? Yocheved, daughter Miriam. Yocheved was the one that Paro turned to when Paro acknowledged the population growth in Klal Yisrael. How did Yocheved get in such a position to be the person that Paro goes to, that obviously is a very great degree of responsibility for the population of Klal Yisrael? Because she was born as they entered the walls of Egypt. This was her purpose. This was her tafkid. If Yocheved was born in Eretz Canaan, and then when she was 25 years old, Yaakov says, you know something? There's nothing to eat. The pizza stores are all shut down. There's no baby formula here in Egypt, and there's no grain, and the price of gasoline is way too high. I think we should relocate to Egypt. If this is what would have happened, then Yocheved would come to Egypt and she would say, you know, I don't belong here. This is not my purpose in life. This is just a temporary detour because of difficult circumstances. This is not my role. This is my mission in life. Then Yocheved would never have become the person that Paro turns to. Vayoma Paro, Vayoma Melech Mitzrayim Lameyaldeis Ho'ivyos, Asher Shein Lachash, that's not. The fact that Yocheved was born as they entered Egypt, it's a sign in Hashemayim. This is your tafkid. The fact, it's not a coincidence that your very existence coincides with Klal Yisrael coming into an environment, into a dangerous environment. Hashem creates the refuah koidim the makom. You're coming into Egypt now. As you enter into Egypt, I'm giving Klal Yisrael the tool that they need to survive. And the way you're going to know that this is the tool is because you're only getting it now. As you walk, I mean, it's not a coincidence she's born now. The fact that she's born as she enters into the walls of Egypt, you're 69 people, how are you going to survive here? I'm giving you something. I'm giving you this person as you enter. She will take you from 70, 69, to 603,550. Here is the tool. I'm giving it to you. And the proof that this is her mission is because she only comes into existence now as she enters. Rashi says, take that as a dugma for the entire Shevet Levi. The entire Shevet Levi only existed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. This is your tafkid in life. How many times we have in the Torah sometimes, Al-Kein lo yech chelek v'nachala in Yisrael, it says in the past that Shevet Levi has no chelek and nachala in Hashem hu nachalasa. They did not inherit any land. Everyone else in Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, they don't get nothing. Hashem hu nachalasam. Hashem is their nachala. Their purpose is to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, to be the teachers for Klal Yisrael. This is your tafkid. It's not that, okay, you know, really, this is not what I really wanted in life. In life, my goal, my purpose was to be a doctor, a lawyer, to do this. No, the market is not good. The market, the medical field, the market's not so great now. There's a glut of lawyers, there are too many doctors, there are too many accountants. So you know what? I can make a good parnasa being a Rebbe. I can make a good parnasa serving the Beis HaMikdash. This is what I'll do. No, that's not what it's all about. This is what you have been created for. This is your tafkid. And when you know that this is your tafkid, it's different. You are charged. You are motivated to excel in what is meant for you to do. What is your purpose? Your purpose. Yocheved is the poster child of a person that was created for a purpose. She was created for the purpose of serving Klal Yisrael. How do you know? Because if she was born as they entered the walls, it's as if Hashem is saying, here, you're going to need this. You're going somewhere very dangerous. Let me give you something you're going to need. Cannot be more clear. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Bamidbar comes to count, Pikoid es b'nei Levi leves avoysam. Count them. Doesn't say m'nei. It doesn't say su'u. The word pekod means appoint. Appoint Shevet Levi. I know you're going to say that Shevet Levi is only Team B. Because what happened to Team A? Team A worshipped the Egel. So Team B knew, so here comes Team B, they're going to be the backups. There's truth to that, but life is much more complicated than that. Hashem knew from in advance there would be an ego. I mean, we have a lot of examples like this. Even in this week's parasha, Rashi says that things like this. Hashem knew in advance what's coming. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu established Shevet Levi for this role from day one. And they have to know that. They have to know that this is your role from day one. And when you know what your purpose and your role is, it changes the dynamics of your behavior, of your goal, your mission, your attitude towards life. And that's exactly what it says. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai leimar, Pikoid es b'nei Levi leves avoysam lemishpichoysam. We're now going to make appointments. Who's going to be the servants of Hashem? And we're now going to select an entire shevet. And we're going to count them. We're not going to count them the way we counted Klal Yisrael from the age of 20 years and above. We're going to count them from the moment they're born. Mi ben zoch, kol zochar, mi ben chodesh. From the moment they're born, they're viable. V'mala tifkedeim, Rashi. Just like Yocheved. Yocheved. Why are we counting them from the moment they're born? Because Yocheved, who was the first member of Shevet Levi, Levi had a child. Yocheved, the first of his offspring. Yocheved, she was counted as a one-day-old child because she was born as they entered into Mitzrayim. What's the message? What is Rashi coming to tell us? He's coming to teach the word pikod. Know your role. Yocheved was only the fact that she was born at this moment in time was Hashem's way of saying, here, you're going to need her. If you're going to survive in this place, you're going to need this person. She's going to be the one, ultimately, that Paro is going to say, Vayomer Paro, Vayomelech Mitzram El Hamayaldois Hu Ivriois. The one that brought forth Klal Yisrael. You're going to need her. All of you people in Sheva Levi are just like her. This is what you, Klal Yisrael, we're going to need you. You're created for this purpose. Now, everyone, there's a very famous Rambam. The Rambam says, I don't remember the words by heart. Chaval, I know by heart. It's a very famous Rambam. V'lo yeshevet Levi bilvad. It's not a coincidence. Not a coincidence that Parashas Bamidbar is the Hakdama to Matan Torah. Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael said, Nasev Nishma. You don't have to say Nasev Nishma. If you don't want, you don't want. Hashem gave us a choice. Right? There was Nasev Nishma. Klal Yisrael said, Nasev Nishma. But in Klal Yisrael, he said Nasev Nishma, there are different Madregos. There's Shevet Levi, who is Pikoi, this is their Tafkid, they're born Ben Achoymos. And there are other people that, no, it's not their Tafkid. It's not their Tafkid, that's not my role in life. The Rambam says it's a big mistake. Viloi Eshevet Levi Bilvad. Anyone that wants to have a more significant connection is not denied. There's freedom, there's mobility. Anyone that wants to have a chelek in Hashem, like Shevet Levi, it's for the taking. You have that same option, that same opportunity, that same ability. There is no limitation in making that connection. And that is really the choice. The choice of Nasev Nishma is it's not just Nasev Nishma. The question is, you know, to what degree of Nasev Nishma are you willing to how far are you willing to go? All right, I'm gonna finish up a few little things I want to point out over here. Mahol enjoys politics very much, like I. And I want to make it just a remiss. This is parasha of one of the biggest struggles in any free country. And I'm not going to do all this now. I want to finish up with Shavuos very quickly. I don't want to miss this opportunity to pass up this opportunity in this is parasha. Is to what degree does a government have control over every person? Right? This free America, we're blessed with freedom. But ever since 9/11, there's something called the Patriot Act. Right? The Patriot Act basically gives the government permission to know everything that's going on in your life. I don't know to what degree, but the Patriot Act opened up an incredible power the government has to listen to your telephone conversations. Then anyway, do it. The only question is, could they do it openly? To listen to your telephone conversations to know exactly what's going on in life. This week's parasha is an incredible sugya from a Torah perspective. America, do whatever you want in America. What would be in a Torah state? What degree does the Torah give a state, a Jewish government, the right to invade your privacy? Hashem, this week's parasha is one of the great makoris for this concept of knowing what's going on in your private life. Hashem says to Moshe, I want you to count the Jewish people. So Moshe says to Hashem, what should I do? Should I go into their houses? Moshe says, I'm not allowed to. Moshe says to Hashem, the incredible Rashi, it's not proper for me to enter into their house and count the number of children they have inside their house. It is a violation of privacy. Let me find the Rashi. I find this Rashi very interesting. Rashi dealing with government's power to count, to enter into your private life and know everything that you do in your private life. Moshe says, I can't do this. It's not right. I lost the Rashi here. Let's see. Nasa es Rosh. No, it's not here. Just give me one moment. Oh, here it is. Pasuk Tezayin. Vayifkoid oysam Moshe al pi Hashem. How did Moshe count the Levim? There are only 22,000. There wasn't so many. You can count it. So it says here, Al-Pi Hashem, Omar Moshe Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hei'ach Ani Nichnas L'soich Oholehem L'das Minyan Yoin Kehem. How am I going to go into their tents to know how to count the number of babies that they have? Why not? The government will go into your house.
Not
me. Why? Knock on the door. No, we want to make an inspection. What's the big deal? Why can't Moshe walk in? Excuse me, this is a state. This is a government here. We have to know exactly what our citizens are doing. We want to go in. We want to know exactly how much money is your bank account. We want to know exactly how many children you have. Why is he not entitled? Why is Moshe not entitled as the leader, the melech of the Jewish people, to go into their homes and count the number? It's not such a big deal. Let me see your birth certificates. We want to make an inspection. Why not? Moshe says, Omar Moshe, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'ach ani, the melech, nichnas, l'seich oholeyem, l'das minyan, the number, yoin kehem. So Hashem says, you're right. You're right. Omar lo yakodesh baruch hu, asei atosh shelicha, v'ani eseh sheli. You're right. Holach Moshe v'omar, he stood al pesach ha'ohel, v'yashchina mikademes lufonov, u'baskol yoitza min ha'oil v'yomeres. The baskol says, kach v'kach tinoikos yesh bo'il zeh. L'kach ne'mar al pi Hashem. Okay, so this pasuk I find here to be a very interesting source to open up a topic of discussion for privacy laws. Privacy laws. Why not? Moshe is the melech. Melech is peretz geder. A melech is allowed eminent domain.
And it's all pi Hashem.
And over here, so Hashem said to Moshe, you're right. It's private, none of your business, and you need to know the answer, I'll tell you the answer. But it's not for you to take the law into your own hands, even though you're the melech, you have eminent domain, to go into people's private homes and to start counting their children. Kol shekei, not to start counting their money and to count their guns and to count all of the other objects that they have. This is a very interesting Maimer Chazal to use as a springboard to discuss the concept of privacy,
the right to privacy.
Okay, obviously, you know, everything has to be understood in the right context. Let me just conclude with one last thing. It's just really a review we learned this week about Shavuos. Shavuos is the Yom Tif of Mochar. Okay, I think we discussed. I just want to add one more point to this idea that we discussed this week. In Shavuos and all of the festivals that are in the Torah, by none of the Moadim does it ever use the word Mochar. The only Yom Tif where the word Mochar is used is the Yom Tif of Shavuos. We begin to count the Yom Tov of Shavuos as Mocharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos. And then it says you will count 7 weeks, Sheva Shabbos es Tmimos, and on the Mochar of the Sheva Shabbos es Tmimos is Chamishim Yoin, and it's the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Torah says three times, if I'm not mistaken, Parashas Emor, the word Mochar in reference to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Pesach is not called Mochar. Sukkot is not called Mochar. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not called Mochar. The only one that we call Mochar is Yom Tov of Shavuos. Why? Yesh Mochar. Sorry?
There is no specific date.
No specific date. But the word Mochazal said Yesh.
You have to have a reference point from somewhere.
Yesh mochar li'achar siman. The word mochar represents a principle of a long time from now. A long time from now represents to get away from the present. to open up your eyes to have a hashkafa, a like we said in the beginning of the week, Pesach is the zman of slavery. When we count from Pesach to Shavuos, when you come to Shavuos, do you still come to Shavuos with a mentality, a slave mentality, of being a victim of servitude? Torah told us, count 50 days. The counting, the purpose of the counting the 50 days is not to prepare. It's, I want you to come to a new era in your life of Mochar. Mochar is, it's not just tomorrow, it's separate yourself from your past, from the limitations of the baggage that you carry with you. We said, what I really want to get to is we said in the Megillah. In the Megillah, Esther says to Ahasuerus, or to the Melech, what else do you want, Esther? You've succeeded, you've obliterated Haman, your enemy who said to you, L'hashmi l'harugul abedis kol ha-yehudim. And Esther says to Ahasuerus, I want something else. I want that Yinosein gam mochor la Yehudim asher bishushon la asois kidos hayom. I want that it should be done mochor. Yose gam mochor. The same thing shall be done mochor to the Yehudim. Asher b'shushan to do la asoyz kidu kidos hayom, like the law of the day. What was Esther saying? Now, who is she speaking to? She's speaking to Esther el hamelech. Every time it says the melech, she's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The miracle of Purim, as we discussed this week, very much relates to Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah, it was forced upon us. Mikan moidor rabo le'orais. When we makabel the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we said Nasa v'nishma, the very last one, the Kali Yisrael, they backed out. And they said they didn't want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the mountain, kofa aleim har kigigis, and told Kali Yisrael, if you back out now, you're going to die. We accepted the Torah against our will. Purim, we know, is a yomtif of kimu v'kiblu. Kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim, kimu mashah kiblu kvar. They will makabel the Torah all over again with will, b'rotzen. Which basically means that now when we come to the yomtif, every time that we come back to the yomtif of Shavuos, we really, it's a continuation of Purim. Because the very first Matan Torah was a failure. It was kafa aleim har kigigis. And every single year when we makabel the Torah again, it is a Kabbalah Satorah, which is an extension of Purim, of Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu mashakiblu kvar. It was a renewal of our vows with a desire. What's the difference between the original Kabbalah Satorah and the Kabbalah Satorah that we do today? The difference is Mochar. Mochar. The original Kabbalah Satorah did not have the Mochar. We were still slaves. Even though we counted, it was 49 days from the 50 days from the time of Matan Torah, it was still with that slave mentality, and that is why when it came to the moment of the Kabbalah Satorah, it was kafa aleim har kigigis, and the Torah knew about this, and that's what the Torah told Klal Yisrael: "You shall count mimocharas haShabbos tisru chamishim yom sheva shab mimochra sheva Shabbos is tmimois." And Mimocharos will be Yom Chamishim. The Torah alludes that it is a constant cycle, a constant avoda every year that you come to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, to add to the Yom Tov of Shavuos a new dimension of Mochar. Esther, at the time of the end of the miracle of Purim, where indeed there was a success of Kimu v'Kiblu, it was the beginning of the true Mocha. The time of Purim was the beginning of the Mocha. And every single year is a new dimension of Mocha. ויאמר המלך, עשה המלך, יעשה גם מוכר ליהודים אשר בשושן, לעשות to do כדוס היום. What is דוס? The law. The law of the day. Shavuos is the time of the dos. La'asos kidos hayom. Now that Purim has been established and Klal Yisrael witnessed Hashem in a different way, in a new dimension, and they will makabel the Torah all over again with Naseh v'nishma, now ye'oseh gam mochor. Now Shavuos is not just the Yom. It's not just you count 50 days from Matan from Yitzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalah Satorah. And if you don't accept the Torah, I'm going to kill you. Kabbalah Har Hagigis. Now that we've experienced the miracles of surviving in Golis, now the Yom Tif of Shavuos is not just 50 days you count. Gam Mochor. Now we can first experience Usfartem lachem mimocharas Hashamos. Tisveru mimocharas. I forgot the exact pasuk. It says in Yisrael Parshat Emor. After 7 weeks, mochar. After the 7 weeks are over, mochar. Now, finally, Klal Yisrael can experience Yinosein Gam. Also, the element of mochar that is inherent in the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which represents a freshness, a freedom, where you're not held down by the baggage of slavery and all of the dark things in life which keep you stuck in the mud. Matan Torah is Ein Lecha Ben Choyrin El Nish Oisek B'Torah. It's a fresh perspective. Every single year, as Klal Yisrael matures, there's another Purim miracle. We live in a world of Hester Panim. We don't live in a world of Nisim Galuyim. The story of Purim was one example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself in Hester Panim. But every single individual, as they get older and they go through life, you witness, you see the Yad Hashem. There's a continuous renewal of the concept of seeing the Yad Hashem in Hester Panim, which leads to an expression of Kimu v'kiblu, a willingness, and when there's a willingness, then we're no longer observing the Yom Tov of Shavuos as just rote mitzvahs anashim limuda, but now every Yom Tov becomes a new element of Yinosein. It will be given to the Jewish people a dimension in Shavuos of Gam b'mochar, the mochar of Shavuos, and we can do la'asos kidos hayom. The dos, the law of the day, without the mochar. We can now do the gam mochar. There are tzvei dinim in Shavuos. There's the yoim of Shavuos, and there's the mochar of Shavuos. The yoim of Shavuos, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Kaf aleim har ke'igis. The mochar of Shavuos, to break away from all of your limitations, not to be connected to the hires and all the baggage, that you need a Purim for. That you need to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to see in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Yad Hashem and the Hester upon him. Then you can have the Gam Mochar of the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, boys, have a wonderful Yom Tov. Thank you for coming and listening.
Everybody,
Shabbos, good Yom Tov. All the best to everyone. Be well.
Shabbos, good Yom Tov.